Previously on Worlds Away.
Reef Kasarik is not an official member of the administration, and while it's known that there are distinctions between her political stances and those of Aiden Kyros, it is unknown how close the two still are.
If you're interested in learning more, we've just started a, what do you call it? Book club?
A literature club. And Mar's looking expectantly at Arno.
So, one of them actively called for our deaths and the other one just was fine with it. Got it.
So you are scanning the bedroom and kind of, I think, walking around the room, maybe checking the dressers, checking the curtains, and you're not really detecting anything with the scanner. But I think then you kind of crouch down to the floor and lift up the bed skirt, and you see very obviously a large, dangerous-looking explosive device. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that strikes you in terms of who or what here is not what they seem is that the placement under the bed, there does not seem to have been any effort to really conceal this in any way. The placement aside, I want to ask, what kind of advanced CSI stuff did you do with the scanner to find some kind of evidence of who the person that planted this bomb is?
We have had an incredibly productive evening. I hope yours was equally productive. And I'm like, actually, like, even though we're not dancing together anymore, mm-hmm. I'm still sort of twirling in my arms.
Well, we found 1,000 ways to ambush us at the festival and no leads. So, no, I guess you could say we didn't.
No leads. Did we find any leads, Mr. Baydock?
No, Dr. Belova, I don't believe we found no leads. That doesn't seem like the correct number.
No, we are exceptional, intrepid, gumshoe investigators, and we found this. And she'll, like, hold up her slate.
You pull up the slate, and you see that there was a hit on the sort of genetic material that you got off of this bomb, this device. And I think you're kind of taken aback for a second when you see what the result is from. And that is because it is from a service record from the Republic fleet. And when you open this record, you see a personnel jacket for a man named Elliot Hall.
We appreciate the invitation, Seeker. It is our pleasure to be your guests.
You know, sometimes I worry that my work as a philosopher has been too restricted. But here's one that has been kicking around in my head. Pretty much everywhere we go that supports life, we find Lustra. And pretty much everywhere else, we don't. Now, people far smarter than me, perhaps some of your colleagues, Dr. Belova, have said that there's a very simple explanation for this. But the thought I just can't shake is, doesn't it still suggest some sort of design? Like something out there arranged this for us and is now just standing by, waiting for us to play our part?
It's a very old thought, actually, to believe that a magical land far away that you happen upon has been ordained to be designed just for you. Many times the people who thought this way were willing to do anything to keep it theirs.
I have been so enjoying this discussion, and I hope we can continue it. But I was actually hoping you would join me in attending the start of the festival, and maybe you can explore some of those differences for yourself as well. And at the bottom of each cup, you find a single flower, the same shape as the flowers found in Nasir's room on the Valiant, but each of these is colored a deep, almost amethyst purple.
Thank you.
Welcome to World's Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossop, and here with me today, we've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Perfectly legal.
Michael Morales.
Howdy.
And Moshtar.
Blech.
All right. Thank you. So I want to pick back up right where we left off last time. And that is with the four of you at Reeve Kosarek's temporary home on Eos. The room you're in, which is filled with couches, has a giant underwater window that looks out into this moon's alien sea. And on the table in front of you, Sarek has just placed a tray with five teacups, each with a dark purple flower resting at the bottom. And I'm not sure that all of you recognize it, but at least you, Mara, and obviously you, Nasir, recognize these as Cinsa, which is the same flower that Nasir was growing in his terrarium back on the Valiant. So how do you all react to this?
I will, there'll be like a playful smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I go, Sika, these have been banned in the Republic for at least 75 years.
Hmm. So I think she kind of smiles back at you and says, I guess you're being from the Republic, your concern makes sense. As for me, I've never been the best at following rules. Even so, I've been assured that this building is a temporary consulate of the Commonwealth of Aventine. And while I've never been an expert on these sorts of things, unless I'm wrong, I believe that means that Aventine law would apply here.
I was merely sharing some information with my colleagues. No concern. And then I think there'll be a smile on my face, and I'll just say, it is in the habit of tyrants to withhold information and prevent free choice. I was simply making sure they were informed. And I think, Mara, depending on how deep in your reading you are, you will recognize that as a direct quote from On Independence.
How could I have guessed? Mm. Yes. I think Mara's been like kind of, ever since the tea reveal, Mara has been kind of shifting her eyes very intently between Sarek and Nasir. I think she'll say, I'm not sure if everyone in this room is familiar with the delicacy you have placed before us. I think it would be prudent to provide a background on this particular piece of verge flora. And I think she's shifting her eyes between Nasir and Reeve Kosarek to see who wants to like pony up the information.
I think Sara kind of nods and says, of course, it would be my pleasure to explain. The flower in these cups is native to Aventine. The effects of drinking the tea are, well, I'd describe them as mild, but I suppose how mild can your first experience with something alien truly be? You certainly won't lose your wits, but I like to think that since it makes you open to considering new possibilities. As for your comment, Nasir, and she kind of playfully smiles back at you, I should add that the risks of consuming Cinsa are the same as those from consuming anything else from the Verge. I'm sure that Dr. Belova could explain this best, but the earliest travelers to Aventine grew quite ill from their experiments with the food there. Fever, seizures, in some cases worse. They had no choice but to ship everything they would need from Earth, at least until your and your colleagues' discovery. Now, with Cinsa, the risks are far lower, save perhaps for the most fervent users. But I would never want you to make a choice without understanding it first.
So I think throughout this, Leela has been pretty chill about the whole thing. I don't think that you call yourself an artist or go to the Sato Institute without having been offered drugs once or twice in your life.
And, fair enough.
while Leela may not have known what Sinsa was, like, she picked up what was going on. I think she's been just leaning back and kind of taking everything in, but with kind of a bit of a smile climbing up her face.
I think this is where Arno kind of steps in. Let me see here.
Just say no. Arno.
Just say Arno.
Arno's a graduate of the Nancy Reagan also, Institute.
That's such a great piece of merch. Yeah. Just say Arno.
We got our second piece of merch.
It's Arno again.
Yeah, that's why
they're all gonna Arno. Be Arno. They're all gonna be Arno.
It's a memeable man right here.
Absolutely. I'm sure it'll come as no surprise that I won't be partaking, but if I could inquire, Miss Sarek, where did you acquire the Sinsa?
As I said, these flowers are native to Aventine. I simply brought them with me here.
Understood. And may I? And I would just like to reach for one of the flowers that she has. Mm-hmm. I assume she has one.
Yeah, sure. I think she like holds out one of the cups to you. And the flower is just resting at the bottom of the cup.
Yeah. And I just want to gesture one. Is this one yours?
Oh, yeah. You asked that to her?
Yes.
Sika, you are the target of at least one attempted assassination. My colleague is nothing if not thorough.
Huh.
I think I wasn't she kind sure of like, if she was picking it up on it, so I'm like trying yeah, yeah. to translate.
Oh, I was hoping she wouldn't, but that was or that you wouldn't.
I'm sorry.
I like it. I think she lets
where
out.
Where is your food, man?
Yeah. I think she lets out a little
bring
laugh.
Us the food, man.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like to question
this.
The food, man.
She kind of just lets out a laugh and says, "I appreciate your concern, and whichever cup you'd prefer, I use. I'll let that be your choice, Arno."
I'm going to swap the cup in front of hers with the cup in front of Nasir's and step back at that point.
Okay. Because fuck Nasir, right?
Because don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Mm.
If Aventine poisons me to death, that's a big deal.
Finish the job.
Yeah, like we'll be going to war.
But then, like, your husband's going to be like, well, is he dead or did he do what I did?
Leela's just sitting in the corner. She's not actually doing this, but in her head, she's shaking her head because she just put in so much effort into trying to convince Nasir that his life is more worthy than being a sacrifice. And then Arno's just like, nope, you're our sacrifice.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I don't flinch when he does this.
So I think at this point, and again, the cups just have the flower in them, but I think that Sarek picks up one of the cups and kind of goes around the group to offer it to each of you. So maybe Arno, just because you did the whole routine, she goes to you first. What do you do?
I'll just politely put my hand up to decline.
Okay. Yeah. I think she just politely nods and then moves on to the next person, which I think is Leela.
I think Leela's going to lean forward at this point, take the cup and say, so is there a tea situation or how do we actually take this?
It will be clear in time.
I think Leela is able to restrain herself from rolling her eyes, and
but just
Leela
barely.
Doesn't like when she's Leela'd.
Yeah.
And she'll lean back in her chair, holding the cup and kind of looking down at the Sinsa flower.
Mm-hmm. And then I think she picks up another one, goes to Mara.
I actually, in my mind, I kind of imagined that Mara had picked up the cup.
Okay.
And was kind of like holding and examining the leaf or the, I'm yeah, sorry, it's like a petal,
flower.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's like a whole flower.
Oh, a
like
whole,
a whole,
okay, all right. Yeah. So I think that she's just like kind of holding it in her hand and appraising this piece of like alien plant life.
Yeah.
And I think she like takes a whiff of it. And does Sinsa have a smell? Like, is there something on Earth it's akin to?
All right. Well, I'm obviously going to turn that back to you all. So
okay. So I think it's like a magnolia is kind of the most, the smell it's most akin to for us Earth individuals. And I think it's like a deep in the season, almost ready to fall off the tree, absolutely bursting with aroma. And I think she closes her eyes and breathes deeply. And I think she puts the flower back into the cup and she waves her hand and says, I won't lie that I have been quite interested in such a problematic piece of vegetation. But, and she'll look Rivka like right in the eyes. Right now is, it's not my time for this. And she'll again, like, wave her off and set the cup back down.
I think when you say that, I think kind of all of her tone had been very, like, playful so far. It's a lot of, like, banter with Nasir and maybe even with Arno's kind of, you know, assassination checking. I think she was kind of amused by that slightly. But I think she kind of, she doesn't lose her smile, but I think she locks eyes with you and you get a kind of empathetic, knowing look out of her. And I think she kind of just nods at you and takes the cup back and puts it down the tray.
Yeah.
And then she gets to you, Nasir, holding the cup that Arno had swapped for it to be yours.
I think I'll take the cup and just with a smile, just say, thank you for welcoming us into your home.
Yeah, she nods. So I think after she hands the cup to you, Nasir, she goes back to the tray and picks up the teapot I mentioned that was on the tray. But as she walks up to start pouring this, is there any other conversation, or do you all just kind of like hold out the cups?
I'm curious. I think Mara will ask, is this your own private celebration of the veil, or should we expect to encounter more individuals who have partaken in Sensa? Does it grow here natively, or would they have to, people would have to bring it with them, like import it?
I'm fine kind of letting the group comment on that, but I think to me at least, if the kind of genesynth problem, the thing that you were trying to solve was that plant life from Earth would not grow natively on Aventine without kind of being modified or changed in some way, I would have to guess that the same is true among other planets in the Verge.
Sure.
So if it's like, oh, something that's native to Aventine, I don't know if it would grow on Eos, but I mean, sure. Yeah, so
it's also,
I think
a
she
water
says,
world type situation, so totally
true.
Fine
it is
with that.
Yeah.
She brought it with her.
Kevin Costner's
still,
stash.
Yeah, still, like, should we expect other individuals who have done the same, or like, is there did a shipment show up?
Yeah, no, I think she says, I think it's very possible that others from Aventine might choose to experience this in the same way, but as far as I'm aware, no, I'm not aware of others partaking in the same celebration. So I think with that, she makes her way back around the circle, kind of filling up each of the teacups with water up to the maybe a centimeter below the brim. And I guess, let me ask this, what happens to like the water as it goes into the cup or to the flower for that matter? Is there any kind of further change that we see, or what does that look like?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I think the water takes on some of the yellow of the flowers. I'm just thinking about when I pour hot water into a tea bag of something floral, usually like immediately the water changes. So I think the water definitely gets yellow.
So the flowers are purple.
Oh, sorry.
It's worth noting.
I'm colorblind. I confuse yellow and purple.
I think it's kind of interesting though, because it's like, oh, the flowers were yellow, right, before the change. So I wonder if like that comes through in the water though. I don't know if that makes sense.
I'm imagining, just to add some like space drug funsies to this, is that like you guys have seen when people do like ink drops in water, right? So it's not like it slowly becomes the other, like takes on the shade. It's like almost released in like the kind of like ink drop plume from like different portions of the petals.
I think that to that effect, I think the petals slowly become translucent,
Right? Like, I think that it almost looks literally like color leaking from the flower into the water.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay.
As to what color, I would say purple since the flower is purple, but I think it could be any of the colors the flower has been, which are numerous.
Maybe it's like a bunch of different colors. Yeah. Maybe it's like, maybe there's like primarily purple, but maybe it's, you get a bunch of different little drops as Lauren was describing it.
Yeah.
So I think you see that. And then I think that Sarek holds up her cup kind of with both of her hands and holds it up maybe a few inches in front of her face. And she kind of raises it up and says, to new stars.
I will raise my glass and finish the toast. And to those who seek them.
Okay. So like when you say that, Nasir, well, let me ask you this. You and I have discussed this, but where did Nasir get that line from?
That is a line that would, a toast that would have been used in more revolutionary circles on Aventine. People who were discussing the philosophy of On Independence, like folks who would have been a little bit more pro Aventine independence about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And is this something that, like, would Mara recognize this as a line from On Independence? Or is this something that, like, is just completely had developed as a piece of culture spurned on, like, kind of from that, independent of the book itself?
I would say you might, like, Mara might try to, like, dig through when she hears it and see if it's a reference. But if people are, like, being perceptive to the room, I think that probably Nasir saying this caught even Reeve Kasarik off guard. Like, yeah. I think that, like, ooh. I think he just made a move, right? Ooh. Like, I think that's what just, like, the chess game has begun.
Yeah.
No, Mo, you and Nasir and Arno already had a chess game.
Yeah, you're cheating on Nasir. I mean, you're cheating on Arno.
Wow.
And also your alive dead husband. Polycule, am I right?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? It's current year.
It's current year.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 2275.
So I think when you say that, Nasir, Sara kind of turns her focus to you. And I don't think she says anything, but I think you see in her face, and it's kind of, maybe this is a look that's like limited to the two of you, but I think you get this sense of intense curiosity as if you've just presented a new puzzle for her to solve. And then I think she kind of nods again and drinks from the glass.
I'll take a deep drink.
I think Leela is kind of a second behind the two experienced Sinsa drinkers in that she's trying to intuit what to do since verbal instructions have not been forthcoming.
Leela, drink the tea.
I have a question. Does it taste good?
Yeah. That was the next thing I was going to ask.
I guess Leela is going to follow what the other two have done and take a large drink. And I think she was expecting something that tasted fruity like it smelled. But I would like to posit that it does not taste fruity. Maybe it tastes a little bad. I don't know.
Like drinking your first IPA.
I was going to say that I think the taste is bitter. So, like, I don't know about good or bad, but it's certainly, like, no one sipping this for their first time is like, oh, how delightful. I would say, like, it is probably a strong, bitter taste.
Mo, it's great that you don't drink because you've just nailed the first time experience of having an IPA. Absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
So at this point, I think we cut to the five of you walking to the festival. And so this is back outside on one of those kind of metallic boardwalks I mentioned that are the sort of sidewalks of Eos. A few yards in front of you, we see a man named Michael Bradley, who's one of the members of Reeve Kasarek's security detail. He's average height, has dark brown skin and a shaved head, and he's kind of scanning the crowds in front of you as you move along this metal boardwalk. At the back of the group, we have a woman named Summer Gallagher, who's another member of the detail. She has light skin, green eyes, and long auburn hair sort of swept to her left side. And then keeping pace to your left and almost taking up another lane of the walkway, and sort of by doing so, encouraging others to keep their distance from you, we see Emma Gomez, Sark's head of security, who you met when you first arrived at the house. And now I'm guessing that she gave these out to you as well. But what I want to know is, what do we think the Secret Service earpieces of the future look like? Can you even see them? Or is it just like you talk into your wrist or something? What does that look like?
I think you just talk into, like, you don't talk into anything, but maybe. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing that's like attached to your ear slash face. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. both the microphone and the speaker. But then separately, maybe there is just like a small little sticker, basically, that gets put on your hand. And then mm-hmm. you essentially like touch it. And that's like how you turn the mic on or something. But it's just like a clear little sticker that's like somewhere on your hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like your palm that you could like activate with like your pointer yeah. finger or something.
Yeah. Or like you can just like, you know, move your thumb over to the other side of your palm or something. And just you have yeah. to like hold it there to keep talking or something.
Got it. And these just kind of like maybe it just like rests around the outside, like behind your ear, kind of. There's nothing even in it.
Yeah. I think that it is completely almost like hidden by yeah. whatever your ear flap is called. And it's just
your
like
penna?
Resting.
Ear flap.
And you can't even see it when you're kind of face on with someone, but maybe if you were behind them at an angle, you could see it. But it's that kind of small and hidden.
So I think we see the security detail is decked out with these. And I think the four of you have them as well. But as you approach the festival, whether with these things or otherwise, was there any conversation that you all wanted to have? Or if not, like, what does this look like as you kind of make your way to the festival?
The idea of being in a large crowd and supervising adults who are taking mind-altering substances in a loud place sounds about as appealing to Arno as a root canal, which has still not gotten mm-hmm. better in current year.
It's the one thing we haven't figured out.
We haven't figured that out. And so I think he's just trying to like fight the courage to just like muster up like, all right, I gotta go through it. I'll go in there. And I'll work. I won't even have to try to have a good time. I'll check faces. I'll make sure that nobody approaches us, that nobody's getting injured. And my heart's not in it. I got to tell you, like, this is about as unpleasant for Arno as you can imagine. And so now he's trying to think of, okay, what could I possibly tell somebody if something went wrong, why I wasn't there? And he's just trying to think of excuses to, like, not go to this place. This is his hell. And you might even say there is actually a troubled look on his face as this is happening.
Interesting.
Life is so hard for Arno.
Indeed.
I think that part of the reason why she wanted to stay sober was to read Sark's people in on what we had found so far. So mm-hmm. I think that Mara is going to fall alongside Emma Gomez and okay. pull out her slate and say, this is the individual that is our current prime suspect. And she'll pull up the file on Elliot Hall.
So I think just as a refresher of what this person looks like, and I think we kind of see his image on the slate. And you just pulled up the kind of like the dossier, like his kind of like fleet personnel file.
Yeah, on the left it has his face, and then it's like age, like date of birth, and then like kind of yeah. runs through like background, but yeah.
Yeah. And just to sort of remind everyone of his appearance, I think we see this man kind of like staring out of the slate at you, and he has pale skin, blue eyes, and this kind of like buzz cut hair with just a sort of very faint brown stubble. And I think her eyes kind of narrow when you show that to her, and Emma says, what did you find that led you to suspect him?
DNA evidence, trace evidence that was on the bomb itself.
Do we have any idea of his present location?
The file is out of date in some places, so the best course of action would be to investigate his business. I think she'll like kind of scroll down and point it out to Emma. And So I think she'll kind of let Emma scroll through or read through whatever she wants. But she'll say, I'm not telling you that you have to trust us, but it would be beneficial to put both of our parties' minds together to solve this issue. We didn't come here to fulfill some sort of assassination or aid those attempting to kill Sarek. If you know anything that would be helpful, now would be the time to share it.
So I think what I want you to do is to roll manipulate.
Oh, I want to see if that one is useful for me. Okay, it's a plus one.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's not a negative or a zero. The literal other two options. Scrolling quickly through my moves to see if I have anything to help me out. Nope. I could use a tactical pack, but that doesn't seem useful here. All right. Woo!
You got this.
Eight.
An eight. All right.
Okay. That's pretty good. Okay. Not so terrible. It's a mixed success. So manipulate. When you use promises, guile, or charm to manipulate someone into doing what you want, say what you want and what you're willing to give, and then you roll plus slick. And on a 7 to 9, they can either make a counteroffer to be settled now before they do what you want, or they can ask you to promise something and provide concrete assurance you'll follow through, and then they'll do what you want. I know what I want to tell you, but I'm trying to think of what I want in return. So it's always the hardest part.
I feel like I did give her all of our information.
You did. But the thing is, that's like accept your offer at face value and agree to the exchange, which would be a 10 plus. So she's going to need something more for an 8.
Damn.
But yeah, should have
rolled first.
Yeah,
I should have. I was playing a narrative game. What a moron.
What if I don't tell you anything and then you give me everything?
I mean, honestly, again, like, I think the way Mara is viewing is that, like, it doesn't help her side to withhold anything from the Aventine constituency.
That makes sense. And I think where she's coming from, well, here's what she says. And I think that what happens is you kind of say this to her, and I think she kind of floats a little bit further away from the group with you. Like, and again, she's kind of just like walking and is almost like in command of the space.
Yeah.
But I think she's kind of positioning herself to be a few more paces and out of earshot from the rest of the group. And certainly, I think Reeve Kasarek sort of in the front and taking a more, I don't want to say like frivolous, but a more like whimsical approach to the walk. Mm-hmm. And I think that Emma Gomez is kind of all business. And I think she moves a couple steps away from the group. Look, Dr. Bulova, on Aventine, we've always appreciated the work that you've done, and I think that's true across the Verge as well. But the Minerva Project coming out here and trying to help us, and I think that you can feel the air quotes around the word help. What I mean is, I'm not sure that politics is exactly your area. With all due respect, from where I sit, the Minerva Project is an attempt to show the Verge that we still need minders back on Earth. That we need people who will come here and save the day whenever things don't go exactly as planned. But if there's one thing that Aventine has been able to prove, it's that the Verge is capable of looking out for itself. Your presence here works to push us a step back. I'm happy to share what I know and to work together to solve this, but I do have a request in return.
Name it.
In 2 days, the Seeker will give her speech. I'm happy to share what I know with you, but my request is, when she does, the four of you should not be on that stage or should not be standing behind her.
Just to clarify, were we specifically invited to be on the stage or what?
I don't think so. I think that's the first time you're hearing anything that would suggest that was a possibility.
For my end and for my compatriots, we will not push to insert ourselves where you believe we do not belong. However, I think you would agree it would not be right to take that choice away from Reeve Kasarik if she so chooses us to be on the stage with her.
Certainly the Seeker has a choice, but so do the four of you. What I mean is, sometimes in revolution, we can't all have the luxuries of choice.
I think she'll kind of, like, maybe look a little quizzically, but then nod.
So nod to agree?
Yeah.
Okay. She leans into you and says, "The Seeker has always been a hero of our revolution. But recently, she has, well, let's say that she's not exactly kept the best favor of other supporters of our cause. If you asked what I thought the greatest threat to her life was, I mean, I assume that you just showed it to me. But," and she kind of like looks both at the front and the back of the sort of entourage toward Michael and Summer, the other two members of the detail. And she says, "Let's just say I'm trying to consider all possibilities."
It's curious, based on the information you just offered, that the Seeker invited us here. And she'll kind of like huff out a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that she does whatever she desires, damn the outcome.
I think she just leans in again and says, "If that weren't the case, I'd suspect we have less to worry about."
Hey everyone, it's Mo. Thank you so much for listening to Worlds Away. This game has been a blast to play, and it has been wonderful to get to share the story with you. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends and family. And if they are starting to get annoyed with the fact that you keep talking about us, that's okay. That means you're doing it right. You can also support us by giving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you listen to podcasts. And if you want to give us a shout out on social media, you can find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod. We're online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
So, okay. Is anyone else doing anything during this trek?
I think right after that, I walk back to the group having stepped away, and I've got like just like sticks in my hands with snacks on them.
Okay.
And I think I got like festival food, and it's like the local Genesynth crop, but like mixed in with something and like shaped into a ball and battered and fried. And there's like three balls on sticks, and I like walk up with sticks for everybody.
Okay. Is it like the eclipse is the idea of the three balls on the stick?
Yeah. I think they're probably called like night cakes or something. Right. And I think they've got like a sauce on them, and they're like very much like it's like local food. And I'm just offering everybody festival food.
Mara will not be taking this.
Yeah.
Oh. Not Arno, after the blapple.
Arno sees this as an opportunity and will enthusiastically take two sticks.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I also have, for what it's worth, I definitely also brought enough for Reeve Kasarik and security person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's three security people. Yeah.
There's three all security people.
Them.
All of them.
All
okay.
security people.
You had to roll, hey, big spender.
No, I think that's, you don't have to check off anything to get some future funnel cake. So I think that when you're handing them out, Nasir, I think that Michael, the person at the front of the group, takes it when you hand it to him. This is like the sort of member of the detail at the front. And then you get to Emma Gomez and she refuses. And I think that then maybe you go to Summer at the back and she kind of like looks at Emma and realizes that she refused and then also declines. But it's, you know, I think you can kind of tell that she wouldn't have if not for seeing this choice be kind of made for her.
I think I'll wink at her. And I'll just like sort of hold on to it and walk away.
Yeah.
So I think in the midst of this walk, Leela has been surreptitiously doing some research on how Sinsa works, just so she knows a little bit of what to expect. Just, you know, standard, like, how long is, you know, when will I first start feeling something and how long is this going to last? That sort of thing. So I don't think she's been paying much attention to any of the conversations that have been going on. I think she will take the funnel cakes or the night cakes, but she'll just sort of be holding on to it and only taking the occasional bite, not really fully engaging with it.
Can I say something to that?
Mm-hmm.
And Haley, also feel free to shoot this one down. I think that you find almost no information on the internet or on the future internet. I think like you're looking and you look, but like, I think we've established this a little bit in the lore that like the Aventine circles, like specifically the circles that would like partake in Sinsa and like read on independence and et cetera, don't put their shit online as an act of resistance.
Mm.
And I think that you are, you probably find something, right? Like Sinsa is like a little, probably a little looser, but like, I think that you probably don't find as much, like you don't find like Verge Irowid, right? Like that's not like,
I'd imagine it's all like Earth reports about anything. Anything you'd find is from Earth and therefore kind of second or third hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, the group reaches the edge of the festival grounds. And I think in the kind of TV cut of this, we're going to get some wider shots of the square that we saw earlier. And I know we already described that a bit, but I actually want to reopen that discussion. And that's because I want to know how this space has transformed now that it is nighttime and now that the music has started for the opening celebration of the festival. So what are we thinking this looks like?
I want to clarify something.
Mm-hmm.
When we say nighttime, we mean that it is like a perpetual dusk now and will be for 3 days.
No, so I
until zenith.
We were debating this. We were debating this off mic. I think that where we landed is that there is a night, like a day-night cycle. It's just even when it's day, it's just the eclipsing that the sun is getting eclipsed by this planet. So this is like true night. It's dark. You're seeing the stars. You're facing away from the sun right now, if that makes sense. And or maybe right. I mean, I guess that's a question of like what time this is. I mean, maybe the sun and the planet are setting right now. Like it's like there's a sliver. I'm fine with like whatever time we want it to be. But either way, I think the things are kicking off at the festival and I want to know what that looks like.
So I'm thinking lights.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's a combination of different styles and types of lights, right? So you have your classic fluorescent, you got some neon. We've also described bioluminescent, kind of futuristic apparatus that is in our life support room. But I think that we've gotten to the point where that's just like kind of commercialized, that you can buy, you know, different colored fluorescent microbes or whatever. And so there's just like everywhere you look, there's kind of light styles that are bleeding into each other. There's cool different, it's almost like the shadows and the light are making the art and the architecture instead of like the buildings themselves.
I love that. And I actually think, you know, right in today's world, when you think like music festival or rave, there's a lot of LEDs. And I think I like the idea of it's not LEDs anymore. It's specially engineered bioluminescent microorganisms that are putting off different colors. And so to create different colors, you're either mixing different microorganisms or you've engineered them to put out a different wavelength of light, both of which are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Anything from Moorno to add to this?
The biology nerds took over.
Yeah.
I wonder if they like change colors in response to like the beats or something to that effect.
Oh, yes. Ooh. You know they fucking do. Oh. Yeah. You know
it's
they
like
fucking
actually
do.
The The Winamp visualizer was always the ultimate form of...
That's what I've been wanting for the past 20 years, is to get back to that guy. Like, so good.
I think one of the other differences is just that there's more of everything, right? There's more stands, there's more people. Festival is in full swing. It's very much lines of, not carts, but stands, I guess. People, like, selling things. I also think, and this might be the sense of talking... but I think that the bioluminescence is really adding to the sort of flowy after effect we described of like people's outfits in last session. So like, I think that, and I definitely actually think it's not just the Cinsa. That's true regardless. But I think for those of us who are under the influence of Cinsa, that effect is even more enhanced, where it's almost like in a rave where it's like, or when there's like a strobe, excuse me. And like you see like blank images, it's like you see like not quite two of someone at once, but like a continuity between where they were and where they are.
Okay, so let me pitch something to Lauren on this one. What if they were a biodegradable substance that was just like sprayed on the buildings, so the buildings themselves become like the lights and part of the like the light show over here, and they're like giving off the light, like kind of just like a that's the idea. It's just like it's coming off of those existing surfaces. They're not like lights that are installed or brought out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like all of the buildings around the square are the lights. That's it's
fucking good. Or it's like sprayed design on them. Like one is like a giant like moon in like different phases of the veil, and it's like turning colors with the beat. Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah,
I want to, for those of you who can't see what's happening, we just watched Lauren fall in love with Mike all over again. Like, the look on her face was disgusting.
I mean, the, so the
it's problem, three episodes in a row,
the not problem, but the reality is like all of this stuff is like marginally attainable in like the now times. And it is my job to make things glow different colors, bacteria glow different colors. So I'm having a ball. This is great.
I wonder if just like at music festivals, like you get a couple of people who break into like the storage or like manage to acquire some of this stuff and use it as like body paint or face paint or like walking around pulsing.
Like henna, but with fluorescent microbes.
Yeah. That too.
I also, I think, I know we've like gone on a bit, but I think that during the day we see everyone's like day clothes, right? Which is like flowy, but like still kind of just the day clothes. And then at night, everyone brings out the big guns.
Yeah.
And everything that we were seeing with like, the flowy and the shapes, maybe like nature inspired, or like everyone has, is like dressed to the nines to come out and party.
Okay. I'm loving all of that. I think maybe I'll jump in and take some responsibility for the music here and say that what we're seeing on the stage is a form of music where you have live performers playing a variety of instruments. These are both things that we have in our time, but also some things that we've never imagined. But the other thing to add to this is that the people playing each instrument are themselves paired with another performer who's like a sort of DJ manipulating the sound in real time. And so what we get is a kind of hybrid performance where for each part of the music, there are two people working together to construct that sound. That's itself just one of the parts of this larger band. But as you all move onto the dance floor, I think that Reeve Kasarek almost begins to glow with a new energy. Or for Nasir and Leela, maybe that's the sense of starting to take effect. But she leans in and sort of does the, you know, the like the nightclub shout and sort of like projects toward your ears and says, "Come on, let's get closer," and sort of takes you by the hand and begins to push her way through the crowd toward the stage. How does everyone react to this?
I'm matching pace.
Okay.
I politely put my hand up again as if I was declining the drugs a second time. So if you'll excuse me, I think the skewers didn't agree with me. I'm going to go find something to drink and I'll just like walk off to like one of the vendors or something to that effect. But what I'm really going to do over here is just try to survey the crowd. I think that there's a high probability that Reeve Sarek's life is not in danger in this situation because this is an unplanned visit to the event and there's enough security personnel to protect her. But that doesn't mean that there isn't room for chaos. And so I think I just want to find a quieter spot to watch or get a better vantage point.
Okay. And are you, I guess like, I mean, we can come back to this, but are you earlier we kind of talked about you using the drones. Like, are you using the drones, or how are you, what are you kind of doing to survey the crowd, or just kind of looking at ground level? How are you doing this?
So I think when I used the drones before, I'd identified a couple of high risk places for someone,
like buildings.
To like the tops of the buildings for like a sniper, yeah, or something to that effect. And so I think I will do a sweep of those areas with the drone, but I'm really more just watching the crowd.
Okay. Got it. Okay. I might come back and have you roll in a minute, but I want to see what everybody else is doing.
I think that Mara kind of sees Arno very poorly fake a tummy ache.
It's like Mara knows what that's like when you eat the blapple.
Like, don't pull this. Yeah, don't fucking pull this shit. It's not an upper stomach, it's a lower, you fucking idiot. But I think that she's going to kind of maybe lean in and indicate or scream or yell or something that, yeah, she's going to take a lap and then join them close to the stage or get back in the thick of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, you know, she's going to step away and then maybe seeing Arno like preparing his drone. She's going to pull out her sensor apparatus from one of the dress's pockets because it's the future and they all come with those.
Amazing.
I know, wow. Right? Utopia.
Awesome.
And so
this is truly sci-fi.
Yeah, truly sci-fi.
And it just ruins the shape line.
You're ruining.
Actually, wait, hold on. I'm trying
I
to think.
I was making a joke.
Actually, wait, hold on. Wait, no.
All dresses should have pockets.
I'm trying to think of an example in sci-fi where like the women don't have pockets. And that might be a defining trait of sci-fi unintentionally. Nothing comes to mind.
That's because in sci-fi, a lot of people just wear pants.
Yeah. Like, okay. Well,
no, Mo, that's not a good enough explanation because our pants still have shitty pockets. So
yeah, that's insane. Genuinely. But yes, I'm okay, sorry anyway. For making a joke. Women deserve pockets.
Your misogyny is noted.
Yeah. I'm expecting a notes app apology moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Get that. Yeah, I get that. Okay. So you
did
have
I finish my fucking sentence?
I think so.
I think
you
I did.
You have the sensor. Yeah. I think that you're putting this on, and I think people just think it looks like rave gear.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking, yeah. I think that Mara looks very nondescript wearing it.
I
don't think it causes alarm to anyone.
Okay.
And I think what she's trying to do is specifically, right, when we examine the bomb, we talked about it being, you know, remote detonated. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we, you know, like landed on. So I think that's what she's kind of searching for. She's focusing in her sensor on whatever wavelength or signal, like frequency, that the bomb would respond to. That's specifically what she's searching for using the sensor.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to come back to, I think there's going to be some scoping it out that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So we're going to come back to that. But before I get to that, I want to ask, so Nasir and Leela, I think Reeve Kasarg is kind of leading you and like pushing through the crowd, and the crowd's getting like denser and denser. And I think that you kind of are getting toward a small, like partially open pocket where you can start dancing. And I think that Emma Gomez is, and maybe Summer, one of the other security people are kind of trying to like keep up with you through the crowd. But I think Rivka just kind of pushes her way through and gets to a spot where the three of you can start dancing. So I want to like what this looks like, or what's the kind of vibe of this situation here?
I mean, I think the dancing is like very free spirited, right? Like, I think there's a lot of like twirling and throwing your arms and like, not quite shuffling, but like a lot of like quick feet movements. I think that this is a dance pit, right? Like it's not a mosh pit, not that vibe. I do think it's like people forming circles and a couple of people dancing through the middle, and that then like new people going in and like sort of shifting, like very fluid.
Yeah. What about Leela?
Yeah, I think Leela is kind of taking everything in and flowing with the music as well.
Okay.
I off mic for a second. Can I embrace eternity now?
How do you want to do that? What does that look like? In the past, I think you said like, oh, there has to be like some kind of contact to do indexing, right?
Yeah. So I wonder if I think Leela's just kind of nodding her head along and kind of moving along to the music. But then maybe the song changes and there's a shift, and it seems like everyone around is kind of linking hands. And I think that seems to be what everyone's doing. So then maybe Leela looks around and she can't really see Nasir, but she does see Rivka put her hand out to kind of join in with the type of dancing that everyone else is doing.
Okay. And so you want to do Embrace Eternity at this moment?
I do. Yeah.
All right. So when you gently reach out and mingle your mind with the energies and auras of something living nearby, you discharge the move and roll plus alien. So go ahead and do that and let's see what happens.
Okay. All right. Plus two to alien. Let's see something good. That would be a 10.
Oh, man. Okay. So on a 10 or higher, the connection is open and you can ask two questions from the list and they ask one. So okay. Go ahead and ask your two questions.
Okay. So the list is, what do you seek? Who or what do you wish to protect? Who or what do you love? What are you willing to sacrifice for your beliefs? And what do you have faith in? I think Leela is going to ask, what are you willing to sacrifice for your beliefs? And what do you have faith in?
Okay.
I have a question for Haley. When you index with someone, are they aware of it?
So, yes, but this is not indexing.
Got it.
I guess, you know, we haven't really gotten into this yet, but this is kind of like indexing light, or you're just like getting the vibes just from this sort of brief contact, or like, what does that look like? This is kind of, you know, not, maybe it's not exactly the same thing that happened with the creature on Feronia, but it's the same move, you know? So what does that look like here?
Yeah. So I think what's happening is, I mean, first of all, it's a really good song. And I don't think that should be, you know, that fact should be neglected.
Yeah.
But I think what it feels like is everyone around them is literally physically connecting with others. And so that's kind of part of the spirit of what's going on. But as Leela reaches out to grasp Rivka's hand, I think she, you know, I think it's fair to say that while Rivka has been relatively open with us in terms of, you know, like, hey, come do this weird drug with me. But I think she's also been kind of putting on a little bit of a facade or a character even. That's kind of, you know, Haley's interpretation a little bit. But I think in that moment, you know, some of that artifice is peeled away and they're just two people dancing to some really good music. And I think just having that moment of connection gives Leela a lot more insight into who this person is.
Okay. So I think as you grab her hands and as your minds are kind of taken by the music, you sort of get a rush of, I don't know if they're quite visions, but maybe it's ideas. And I think that it's almost as if time is moving backwards, and maybe it like starts out a little slow, but then you kind of get this rush of things accelerating faster and faster. And maybe that's just the beat again, or maybe that's something inside your head. And I think that you are like tracing from all of these different planets back to Earth. And then I think on Earth, you're kind of tracing human history back through many societies, and then to a time even before there were humans at all. And I think that to answer the question about what does Rivka Sarek have faith in, I think that you see her looking out at the people dancing to this music and celebrating this festival, celebrating in the shadows of a site that is only possible of all of the places that humanity has reached thus far to happen here on this moon. And I think the thing that she has faith in more than anything else is that the people assembled here, the people that invented this celebration and beauty that she's seeing, that only they can decide what their experiences mean. Hmm. In terms of what she's willing to sacrifice for her beliefs, I mean, I think it's, I don't even need to say that that would include her own life. Mm-hmm. But I think that that can be traced back a step further. And I think that what you realize is she thinks that this is more important, not only than herself, but more important than the idea of Aventine itself.
Mm. Okay.
But now I want to ask you, what is it that you have faith in, Leela?
Ooh. Dang. Okay. So I think Leela's answer is actually maybe closer to Rivka's than maybe Leela expected. And I think as she sees what you described of all of human history, essentially, and going back to everything we as a species have done, I think the thing that stands out to Leela is the capability of people and of life to flourish and to achieve things. So I think what she has faith in is human achievement.
So at this point, I want to cut back to Arno and Mara. So Mara, you have the scanner, and again, I think that that gives you advantage to your scope it out role. So I think I'm going to present the same kind of choice that I did when you and Nasir were in the hotel room checking that out, which is, do you want to sort of both roll separately and get separate consequences, or do you both want to roll and I'll take the kind of higher result of the two and apply that? So it's totally your choice. Yeah, or both of your choice.
I have a, well, it doesn't matter what I have or the advantage, right? If the higher is going to be taken no matter what.
I think you have advantage on your roll. And then I just
but then
mean,
also a plus two is, I guess, yeah, it was like the full calculation there.
I think the way to think about this is it's like there's less chance of a fail if you do it together. But also if you both succeed, you would get more questions, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about it.
You want to do that, Lauren?
Roll together and get one answer.
I was going to say roll separate. That way,
I'm fine with rolling separate. That's totally fine. I feel like narratively, it makes more sense to roll separate here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm always down to do what's more narratively interesting. So, all right. So, okay. I want to see. So, both of you go ahead and roll. Lauren, you can have advantage, but mark off another use of the scanner, of course.
And this is plus calculating?
Plus calculating.
Here's to hoping. Oh, fuck.
Oh, wow. All right. All right, come on. All right. Eight,
you,
big success.
I thought you had advantage.
Yeah, you have a third dice.
Yeah, you can roll one more die if you want. Let's see.
I will roll
1d6, one shot, one opportunity. It's actually three opportunities, but.
One additional opportunity.
Oh, wait, I cleared it. Oh, it's a six. That's a success, right? What did I ask before? Okay.
That would be a six and a success. Four plus two. That's a 12.
Okay.
All right. Full success, but a fail for Arno.
Arno, what did you roll?
A four.
Mm-hmm. It's because he poorly faked a tummy ache. He was too distracted.
Yeah.
I was really into my acting.
Yeah.
It's like a real tummy ache came unexpectedly. Yeah. Okay, so Mike, go ahead and mark XP.
Yep.
So I'm going to get to that in a second, but before I do, Lauren, I got to let you bask in your success. So for Scope It Out, you roll plus calculating on a 10 or higher. Your investigation pays off and you get to ask me three questions to the list. So as a refresher for those at home, those questions are, where is my best escape route, way in or way past? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position? Who out here is not what they seem? Who's really in control here? How could I best end this quickly? Or who or what here could be a useful opportunity?
So I definitely think, what's my enemy's true position?
Yeah, that seems like a good one.
lookout for are my two strongest choices.
Okay.
And then also, so I guess the idea is those first two are like, did Elliot plant something here or is here presently? But then I want to also add who or what here could be a useful opportunity just in case maybe they didn't plant a bomb or maybe he's not here presently, but maybe they left some sort of clue that Mara could pick up like inadvertently.
Okay. It was only the last one that was a stumper for me. I want to think of a good opportunity, but it's kind of because of the answers I have to the first two. That's why the third one is a stumper. But
and I mean, if the first two are like really good answers and I'm going to like, listen.
I mean, I think they'll be useful, but I don't. I feel like I'd be cheating you if I was just like, oh.
No, and no, now I found you know- him. We saved the day. Everything's over. Yeah. We get a parade.
It's like your useful opportunity was succeeding on a scope it out roll. You know what I mean? That feels kind of cheap. So let me give you something better.
Your useful opportunity would have been doing Sinsa with Rivka. Sorry, you missed it.
Yeah, you fucked up. Okay, no, I know what it is. I know what it is. Okay. So you have the scanner out and you are, I think you had said you were trying to survey the frequencies for what the device was on the bomb that was used for the remote activation. So I'm sure this is like a slate that would communicate with this, but maybe you picked up on like, oh, the precise frequency or the code that was used for that. And maybe you're kind of like searching in that spectrum or searching for adjacent codes or frequencies or whatever. Arno, you said you were using, you had talked about like, oh, the drones had kind of done this basic survey and we're kind of scanning the perimeter. And I think that you're kind of like, okay, what was the threat? And you were focused on these buildings that had a line of sight.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to what the consequence of that is, but I want to give Lauren her answers right now. So Lauren, I think at first you're not detecting anything. And then I think you kind of get a blip. And maybe it's like, oh, you're kind of scrolling back and forth in the frequency band. You're like, oh, shit, we got something. Mm-hmm. So I think with the scanner, you're kind of picking up this frequency and can actually detect both maybe a source and a destination. And I think the destination, the kind of target of this signal, you're kind of like scanning across the crowd and you see that maybe the signal is strongest coming from 200, 250 feet away from you. And I had mentioned that in this, these festival grounds, the only things that were breaking up the kind of central dance area, aside from the stage itself, were these platforms set up for the speakers and the audio equipment. And I think that the destination signal that you're picking up, it's maybe it's faint, but it is coming from one of those smaller kind of like speaker outposts. Maybe if you're looking at the stage, it would be like the back center left of the crowd, and you're detecting the kind of destination of the signal as being there. Mm-hmm. And the source, you're detecting it moving through the crowd. It's moving away from that platform and maybe not directly toward the front area by the stage where Sarek and where Leela and Nasir are, but it's definitely getting closer to them. In terms of the opportunity, I think that you're kind of also picking up a lot of other frequencies. And I think that you realize that maybe with your scanner and with the kind of like access of the sort of general like RF environment that surrounds you, you could control several systems or maybe attempt to take control of several systems that are kind of like governing the festival. And that includes the lighting that we discussed earlier. And maybe that could be like shining a light into the crowd, kind of like a spotlight situation, or like conveying messages of some kind or sort of otherwise changing the lighting. So I'll say that is a potential opportunity, is sort of using this, your kind of radio devices to take control. But Arno, I think that you, in looking at the buildings and doing this, you did not detect Elliot Hall. And I think that as a consequence of that, I'm going to start a clock. And I'm going to check off one of the three segments on this clock. And if all three of the segments are filled, I think that means Elliot Hall succeeds at his plan.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Cool.